Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. We wanted to try and get a sense of what is really going on in terms of the U.S. elections. Professor John Strumlau, Honorary International Relations Professor at Fitz University. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I say, actually, I'm doing much better than I
imagined
because the Democrats have dodged a bullet, and the country has dodged a bullet on the question of denialism of electoral outcomes, which was Trump's signature issue, you know. And that's all to the good. It was a bad night for him, so I'm a happy guy.
So it's very interesting because I was talking a little bit earlier. Publications like the New York Post, who are very, very Republican in support, have lambasted Donald Trump. It seems as though that any hopes he might have had for standing in 2024 were dashed by this. He seems to be rightfully or wrongfully being blamed for the lack of success with regard to these midterm elections.
Yeah, I certainly take some delight in blaming him because I think it's also an accurate assessment.
Right.
What is the bad news is that Ron DeSantis, a Trump wannabe from Florida, also from Florida, had a spectacular win in Florida and is now being hyped as
there's definitely the movement
acceptable
toward,
Donald Trump. You know, less narcissistic and more competent and actually just a better candidate. And so the Republicans are getting very excited now. I think they may be misjudging the situation, however. Abortion rights was really a big issue for a lot of women across the country, and there were referendums on at the state level on abortion rights, and they won in even in conservative states. So that's one good sign of protest against that right-wing court that Donald Trump packed. And so it was on balance a good evening because the president, when the president's in power, the opposition usually wins and has won every time in a by-election, except four cases, now the fourth case, since 1906. So, you know, the Democrats are really bucking a tide here.
Right. So let's just talk about that, because there's the issue of the Senate, and then there's the issue of the House. So at this stage, it looks like that the Republicans will take the House. The Senate is very, very much neck on neck with Democrats for 48 seats, Republicans 49 seats. Can I first understand what the difference is between the Senate and the House?
Well, The Congress generally has a budgetary control and can thwart a president's legislative agenda, and the flipping of the House of Representatives and of course the Democrats really only had a 5-seat majority in the best of circumstances, so it was a challenge to Nancy Pelosi, and it's the guess is now that maybe they'll get 10-seat majority, and Kevin McCarthy will be the new speaker, and they will be able to both frustrate the legislation of Joe Biden, but also they will have subpoena power and can get rid of the January 6th committee and start investigating and trying to impeach Joe Biden. I think they'd be very foolish if they did that, because what the election yesterday showed, Tuesday showed, was that the winds are blowing toward greater diversity in America. America is becoming a majority-minority country. So the demographic forces are more powerful. And also things like climate change. You know, Republicans tend to deny climate change. But it's undeniable that Florida in particular is being ravaged by and DeSantis takes federal assistance when a hurricane strikes. So, you know, there's a lot going on right now. It's just like politics in this country, which is bedeviling us so much right now. So at least you can take some pleasure in seeing that another democracy is also going through turmoil.
Right, right. The issues around, I mean, it is quite fascinating though, because, you know, you talk about the issues of climate change being much more of a Democrat associated concern, and yet Florida was a landslide Republican victory.
Absolutely. You know, politics is politics, and people don't often vote their real interests. They vote their glands, their tribal loyalties. And that was the MAGA crowd that Donald Trump exemplified, and that Ron DeSantis is carrying on in the same, you know, anti-immigration, also very conservative in many ways, and appealing to make America great again, even though he's doing very well in Hispanic voters, who are basically a more diverse voting group than I think the generalization tends to suggest, and they've been tilting more and more conservative, particularly being against immigration, even though they're immigrants themselves, but they're now established. You know, people change, and it's hard work being the democracy, and that's why discussions like you have on the radio are important for informing voters on what their issues are here or there, where it could impact on it. And for sure, a Democrat in the White House is a lot more favorable to South Africa than certainly a Trump who denigrated Africa every chance he got. But also, don't forget that George W. Bush was very good on Africa, even though he was terrible on Iraq.
Right.
So, politics is politics, you know.
What about somebody like Nikki Haley? Where's she in all of this? One would have thought a while back that she could have been a presidential candidate for the Republicans, but you don't. It really does seem as though they are pushing towards a DeSantis.
Yes, it does, and we don't hear much about Nikki Haley now. It's so funny. I had to think because we are so dazzled by the hype that is going on around the Florida election, and the fact that you know there's an awful lot of feeling in the Republican Party that they ought to move on beyond Donald Trump, even though they recognize that the Make America Great crowd is appealing to particularly the conservatives in the rural areas of America, which are all red, all Republican. And non-college educated whites who feel shortchanged by globalization, shortchanged by elite, shortchanged by wokeism, you know, the so-called liberal agenda. And that is a force that is very central to the explanation.
In terms of Biden, his popularity also not particularly strong. The perception that he is confused a lot of the time. We don't know what is press, what is media, what is real, but it's certainly a perception that is out there. He's also indicating that he will run again in 2024. Would the Democrats, is this likely to happen?
Well, if Trump does not run and somebody like DeSantis does, I think the Democrats are going to be in a real dilemma because Biden is turning 80 this week, and he would be 86 when he stepped down from a second term. That's awfully old. And I say that as someone who is pushing, Biden is only a year older than I am. So I couldn't take on the presidency right now.
Right.
So that's a real factor. But Biden was reassuring. Biden calmed the waters. Biden's agenda is very popular with the majority of Americans. And even though inflation is at a record high, at least in modern times, there's a tendency to look beyond Biden, I think, in this election, and that was heartening. The pundits and the media, and the establishment media, were all sort of being very cautious because they're all burned so badly in 2016. I mean, I was talking to SABC the night of the election, and I said, oh, Hillary Clinton's going to win. The polls all say that, and they did, but Donald Trump won in the Electoral College. And so, and she accepted the results, which she didn't in 2020. And people, I think, realize that elections, you know, what was really good about this is election deniers don't have much of a leg to stand on for all of the frustrations of and impediments that the Republicans tried to put in the way of voters. The record turnouts, that's just not to say that there was not abuse of power by the Republican legislatures in a lot of places, including Georgia, where I still vote. And yet people did show their mettle and get to the polls.
Right. That is where we leave it. We will certainly continue to follow this story, an incredibly important one, not just for America, but for the entire world. Professor John Stremlau, Honorary International Relations Professor at Wits University. It's 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.